The driver of the vehicle, a pretty short-haired blonde in her early 20s, was cursing the fact that she was lost. She reckoned she had taken a wrong turn about half an hour before, when for some unknown reason, the car's built-in GPS stopped working. It just kept saying it was looking for a valid satellite signal. Since then, she had been driving around aimlessly, getting more and more lost. For reasons she could not explain, she was certain she was on the right track now, as if something was drawing her in this direction. She could not explain this gut feeling she was having. To make things even more confusing, no more than 5 minutes ago, every fiber of her being was telling her to turn the car around and drive as fast as she could in the opposite direction. That was until a voice in her subconscious whispered to her, "Don't be afraid. You are going in the right direction. You are going exactly where you need to be." So, she decided to listen to her gut. It had never steered her wrong. Yet. Suddenly, the shimmering haze in front of Noah vanished. On cue, Brooks applied pressure to the gas and started driving forward into the ominous forest ahead. Noah shifted the gear into drive and followed the van. It was only as the station wagon was moving that Noah noticed the cream-colored car coming up on the left-hand side and speeding past them.
"Whoa, what the?"
he yelled in surprise.
"Damn it,"
cursed Jebediah. This mystery cream vehicle had obviously taken Brooks by surprise too. Noah noticed the van swerve a little as the car zoomed past it. The car entered the gloomy road, deeply shaded by the overhanging trees of the forest. Without warning, the underbrush on the left-hand side of the road exploded, sending leaves, twigs, and branches showering in all directions. Something large and pale charged out of it at tremendous speed onto the road. The driver of the cream-colored car did not stand a chance. The brutish figure shot out of the bushes so fast and so close to the vehicle that a collision was inevitable, and the car hit it at full speed. There was a sickening crunch of metal and a shattering of glass as both the passenger and front windows exploded on impact with the beast. The force of the two masses colliding caused the now mangled car to skid some 20 yards further on down the road until its rear smashed into a tree with a deafening crunch. Whatever it hit bounced off the bonnet and was catapulted about 15 feet into the air before landing with a heavy thud on the road. Brooks slammed on the brakes, bringing the van to a halt alongside the crumpled mass. As soon as they were inside the shadow of the tree line, Noah slammed on the brakes and stared at the motionless shape in front of him. Jebediah hit the button on the glove compartment, which flipped open. He reached inside and retrieved a pistol, which he slammed into Noah's hand and said, "Careful, I doubt it's dead." Noah raised an eyebrow and said sarcastically, "So, I'm going out to check, I guess." Either the sarcasm was lost on Jebediah, or he chose to ignore it, because he simply nodded in agreement. Noah reluctantly opened the car door and stepped cautiously outside, aiming the pistol directly at the creature on the road. Brooks got out of the van, and like Noah, had his gun aimed at the creature. Noah quickly reached the decision that if this thing so much as twitched a toe, he was going to unload the clip into it, and he suspected that Brooks was thinking the very same thing. As Brooks and Noah edged closer to the creature, Elliot exited the van from the rear and quickly made his way across the road to the cream-colored car. Jebediah had stepped out of the station wagon and used the passenger door for cover to scan the area, pointing a small pistol at the creature and periodically at the forest. By this point, Maynard had also exited the van, but stayed on the passenger side, not, as Noah suspected, to stay out of danger, but to keep an eye out for dangers that had yet to reveal themselves. As he got closer, Noah was able to get a better look at whatever the small car had hit. Its bulk was massive. He estimated that when this thing was standing, it was probably over 7 foot tall and about 500 pounds of sinew and muscle. Its skin was a grayish white, with patches of dried forest dirt and mud. Dotted over its skin were small round mounds with thick black hairs sticking out of it, which reminded him of the skin of a prickly pear. The thing that struck him as the most peculiar about this monster was how disproportioned its limbs were. Its legs were short and thick, half the length of what you would expect a creature of this size to have. Its left arm was thin and wiry, and the knuckles were cracked, calloused, and dirty, as if they had spent most of their time scraping along the floor. The right arm was huge in comparison. It was easily 1.5 times the length of the left, and almost twice as thick as its legs. Muscles rippled up the entire length, so much so that the creature's shoulder was so grossly muscle-bound that it made the thing appear as if it had no neck on its right side.